Hello and welcome to another Sustainable Wine Roundtable member interview with me, Hannah Holmari. Today, I am delighted to be speaking with Kane Thompson, who is the Managing Director at Robert Hall Winery and O'Neill Vintners and Distillers. Kane, welcome to the podcast.
Good morning. Nice to meet you.
For those listening who might not be familiar with Robert Hall or O'Neill's, perhaps you could start off by giving us a quick introduction.
O'Neill Vintners and Distillers is owned by Jeff O'Neill, was established in 2004. And is one of the larger wine companies in the U.S., about 10th largest in the U.S., about 1,000 acres of company vineyards. We have about 8 national brands that are in distribution across the U.S., and then a number of DTC-based wine brands as well. O'Neill prides itself on sustainability, and it's been practicing sustainability since inception. With that, 200 of O'Neill's growers across 15,000 acres are all sustainably certified, along with the company's 1,000 acres of company-owned estate vineyards. And now we're in this evolution phase in the last 3 years, working towards regenerative organic certification.
There's no universal definition of regenerative, as we know. So what does regenerative mean to you?
It's all about looking at a farm as a more holistic system that starts with regenerating and farming our soils at the foundation of regenerative farming. It's under the premise of if you farm healthy soils, minimize tilling, incorporate cover cropping, composting, animal grazing, then you're going to develop a better soil. You're going to grow better, healthier vines. You're going to store more carbon and you're going to regenerate land. So that in its simplest form is what regenerative farming means to us.
Like, is it necessary to be organic to be regenerative, or is this just one aspect of it?
We believe you do. And so part of the regenerative organic framework is you've got to be organic certified to start with. Regenerative organic really builds on the foundations of organics and then adds layers to it under regenerative principles. So organics is like the baseline, and then there's a number of additional steps involved that organics doesn't make compulsory, but regenerative organic does. Some examples of that under the regenerative organic framework. One is that minimizing tillage. And so under organics, you can till as much as you want. Regenerative organics, you've got to minimize and at the gold level, eliminate tilling within the vineyard. And the reason for that is that tillage through land completely destroys the microbial life of the soil. It exposes it to the heat. There's no cover to protect the soil. It can lead to erosion, wind erosion, water erosion, decrease in organic matter as well. And so regenerative principles are about minimizing then ultimately eliminating tillage, which is a big difference from organics to regenerative organic. That's just one of the like key differences, and there's 7 in total that we can go through.
And Robert Hall is currently running an industry-first study comparing sustainable versus regenerative vineyard management. I understood that the study has now entered its 3rd and final years. It would be great to hear more about that. How have you set up this project and what are the parameters that you're working in?
So 3 years ago, we had a conversation with Jeff. The regenerative organic framework is only 5-6 years old. And so 3 years ago, we saw this framework developing. All of our vineyards were sustainably certified. And so we had a question of, could we convert some of our vineyards into regenerative organic? What does that involve? What are the learnings? What happens to yield? What happens to quality? What happens to costs comparatively to a sustainable system? And so the idea was that we set up a trial on Cabernet Sauvignon and Petit Syrah, and run a side-by-side project where we compare and contrast the differences. And instead of just keeping that internally for ourselves, the idea was to open up to industry, to trade, other wineries, other vineyard owners, wine club members, general consumers, anyone that wants to learn or be involved in this kind of warts and all study to really dive in deep of what it takes to convert to regenerative organic and then what the effect is. And so we hold our quarterly field days to compare and contrast and out in the field, and then presentations of the results as they come forth during the study.
And what has the interest been like from the wider community?
It's been really surprising. People come from far and wide, and then also locally as well. So you've got local winemakers, local viticulturalists, you've got large companies, small companies in the wine industry coming, you've got general consumers. It's a really broad range. And what's great about that is that at the base level, it's raising awareness of a different form of farming and how grapes are grown, how produce is grown, because this regenerative organic agricultural movement is wider than just grapes. At a minimum level, it's raising awareness for how our food is grown. At the other end of the spectrum, it's hopefully showing a path for growers and wineries to change and what's involved in that process before they potentially dip their own toes in the water.
So let's talk a little bit more about the project and its specifics. What were the metrics you're measuring, and have there been any surprising results so far?
Yeah, sure. So the project was set up in Paso Robles, California. The original discussion with Jeff O'Neill was, hey, let's do a trial, a 1 acre sustainable plot, 1 acre Cabernet Sauvignon. And Jeff said, well, that's not much of a trial. Let's do like a third of the estate. And so straight out of the gate, we set up a 5 acre sustainable control and then 40 acres of regenerative organic as a comparison project. And so we started out 3 years ago implementing this process and transition. And what we saw really early on were some pretty significant differences right from the get-go. Number one, as we moved away from herbicides and undervine clemencing under the vine, we noticed that our water penetration into the soil started to improve, and that started resulting in a larger canopy, which in Paso Robles, where it's so hot and so dry, is actually really beneficial to grow a canopy that's larger without being overly vigorous. Because what happens is when it's so hot here that if fruit isn't shaded and protected, it can actually start to shrivel and dehydrate, and that's when you start getting kind of overripe characters in the fruit and resulting wine. All through the season, early on to mid-season to late season to harvest, we saw this larger canopy with leaves acting like these umbrellas over the fruit, protecting the fruit. Even in year one, even though the bunch numbers were the same, berry numbers were the same, at harvest, the weight of the fruit and the viability of the berries was in better shape in the regenerative. There was less dehydration, less crinkling of the skins. And so the weight and the juice yield of the fruit coming into the winery was actually significantly higher, about 13% higher than the sustainable control, which was a big difference.
So you've mentioned the sustainable control, and I know you said that you have a certification across all your vineyards. Could you elaborate a bit more on what sustainable means in that context? What's the certification?
We farm under CSWA guidelines, and all of our growers have the option to be CSWA, CIT, Lodi rules, and the kind of three key certifications that our growers need to farm by in order to grow for O'Neill. So going from conventional to sustainable is a pretty large step. And so sustainability is about sustaining and protecting your vineyard, monitoring water use, electricity use, minimizing the use of pesticides and systemic products. So that's kind of at the heart of a sustainable system. When you move to regenerative, instead of just minimizing the likes of synthetic agrochemicals, you've got to eliminate them. It's a significant jump in that alone, which requires a different spray program, a different thought process to control pest and disease. And in doing so, that's where a lot of the challenges are, but then also a lot of opportunities to do things differently. One example is the use of biocontrol to control pests rather than agrochemicals and insecticides. So the biggest pest in wine grapes, arguably anywhere in the world, is mealybug and its ability to spread leaf roll virus type 3. Conventional and sustainable viticulture, you've got insecticides to control the mealybug. In organics, you really haven't got many options from a spray perspective. And so biocontrol is a way of controlling mealybug. So the way we do that is that we identify the predator of the pest. So in mealybug's case, there's a bug called Cryptolemus, or aka mealybug destroyer. And we work with our local insectary to incubate and grow mealybug destroyer. And then they have a partnership with a drone company called UAVIQ. They come out to the vineyards and they basically package up the mealybug destroyer with a food source into these drones, and they set this flight path up and down the vineyard, dropping these mealybug destroyer out in the vineyard. And the mealybug destroyer's first role is to hopefully find shade and shelter within the cover crops that we've planted in our vineyards. And then they go about finding mealybug in their food source for preying on. And the beauty of that approach is that nature will always work for equilibrium and will never outcompete its food source. Otherwise, it'd be a very unsuccessful predator. And so you get this control of a mealybug in a completely natural way. And we've had great results with that, as good as our conventional sustainable methods of insect control, if not better.
What's the plan going forward? Is the plan to scale across all of Robert Hall's vineyards to become regenerative organic? What are some of the challenges that you faced here, and is it applicable at scale?
If regenerative farming is to change the world, which we really think can and will, it can't just be a form of farming and products for the elite and the wealthy. It can't only be for wines that are $50 plus. What we're working towards is with the mindset of, can regenerative farming be scaled? And that is a lens that we are taking into the project. And so in year two, after seeing the results that we're achieving, better quality fruit, we're making wines from the different lots, markedly positive differences between the resulting wines, we made the decision to basically convert the whole estate. So we've got 130 acres now in conversion to regenerative organic, along with plans for the rest of our vineyards to transition across 1,000 acres into regenerative organic as well. So we're pretty optimistic on this form of farming. We're also mindful we're only in year three of this transition. Touch wood, will be certified in October this year for the first 40 acres. But we've learned a lot in our short period of farming this way. Already, we're starting to be more efficient with our practices, with our undivine weeding, as an example, timing of animals into the vineyard, both early season and late season. We're getting a better idea of the cover crops that work on our sites and the benefits that they can provide of not only increasing biodiversity, but providing carbon sinks as well. In a short period, we've learned a lot, and it's given us the confidence to increase the program to basically all of our state vineyards in Paso Robles, and with plans for our vineyard in Lodi, which is like 800 acres, and then in Palia as well.
Now, I want to shift the conversation to talk a little bit about B Corp. O'Neill's is a B Corp company. I'd love to hear just a little bit more about what the process looked like to achieve the B Corp certification, and, you know, when did you get it and what made you apply for it?
So we've been B Corp certified for a year now. About 3 years ago, we had a conversation with Jeff, and part of my role at O'Neill Vintners and Distillers is heading all the sustainability initiatives. And through research in terms of where we were 3 years ago and where we wanted to be, we saw the B Corp framework and some of the companies involved that were B Corp certified, and the research into B Corp. It's all about building a framework, utilizing business as a force to do good. When we looked into what it took to become a B Corp, what we loved about B Corp is that it sets this framework for not only the environmental side of sustainability, but governance of sustainability, the supplier network that a company touches, and sustainability within suppliers, the sustainability of the workforce working for you, and then also the sustainability of your customers. And so the framework touches on all five of those key pillars. And we felt that it really encapsulated everything that we were doing and wanting to do going forward as well. So we started on the journey basically 3 years ago. It was a two-year process to become B Corp certified. It's a very, very rigorous standard, multiple audits, and a fascinating process to go through. To become B Corp certified, you need to score 80 points out of a possible 200 points. And that may sound like, oh, you only need like 40%. But a company like Patagonia, I think their score is about 140, 150. They're like the holy grail of sustainability. So 200 points is like, I'm not going to say it's impossible, but it's like very, very, very difficult to get there. So we scored 97 points, which was fantastic out of the gate in the first year. And now our goal is every year to improve upon that. Examples of the positive effect that B Corp has. So under the supplier framework of B Corp, part of the process is you need to reach out to 80% of your suppliers. And that's a pretty large number for O'Neill, being the 10th largest winery in the US, and ask every supplier if they have a sustainability certification and a quality certification. And some of them did, and some of them didn't. The ones that didn't, because we were asking, it fast-tracked a process for them to start some form of sustainability or quality standard if they didn't have one. And so what was really interesting about that is you could see in action this business is a force to do good, not only from your individual operation or business unit in O'Neill, but right through the supply chain network, having a larger impact than just ourselves. And so it was a really rewarding process. And then just culturally within the organization, people feel really proud to work for a B Corp organization. And in regards to retaining talent, attracting talent, it's been a massive positive boost for the company.
Are you finding that being a B Corp has changed your relationships externally? So both with trade and consumers, do they perceive the company differently?
Yeah, I think there's a growing awareness of B Corp. And what's great about the framework is it's not just centered around wine. Any company can apply to become B Corp certified. So there's a growing awareness. And then the people that do know about certified B Corp through Patagonia or Allbirds, they really respect the certification. We're seeing a loyalty towards that commitment through people becoming those brand ambassadors for us, whether that's in the trade, whether that's in the wholesaler, whether that's in the retailer, or internally within our own teams. It's been a really positive shift within the organization.
When you were going through the certification process, did it shed a light on any areas that you perhaps hadn't been addressing, or kind of reveal any significant areas of improvement for you?
The beauty about B Corp framework is the transparency that it provides as well. So under those five categories, it's published on the B Corp site in terms of your score within each of those categories, in terms of environment, governance, suppliers, workers, and customers. We scored pretty well in all of them. In the environment side, we like over-indexed because we've got this amazing worm farm for winery waste water recycling that gave us like a good amount of points, all of our growers being sustainably certified, our move into regenerative farming. So the environmental side was the strongest. One of the areas that we did need to implement, which is from a governance perspective, one of the biggest barriers to try and get across and carries a significant amount of points is and carries 10 points in the B Corp framework. And it's centered around using business as a force to do good. So the example is we needed to change our operating agreement from a LLC into a benefit corporation, which basically means at the highest level, key decision-making needs to be centered around the guiding values and principles of being a B Corp. So any strategic decision made at a governance level around environment, governance, suppliers, staff, customers, there needs to be a board level discussion about the impact on each of those five categories, whether that's a sale of a company, acquisition, whether it's anything to do with restructuring, whether it's shifting to another country to expand distribution or product ranges, the framework needs to be taken into account. And Jeff was very quick to make that change. He thought it made complete sense. It's a big ask to do that. And it just shows Jeff and O'Neill's commitment to sustainability at the highest level, that that could have been a big barrier to overcome.
Well, Kane, thank you so much for coming on the podcast, sharing your work in the space and sharing your insights.
Well, you're welcome. A pleasure speaking with you.
And to our listeners, if you enjoyed this podcast, be sure to subscribe to Sustainable Wines podcast channel and sign up on www.sustainablewine.co.uk to receive our newsletter and regular updates. And of course, if you're interested in getting involved in the SWR, please do just get in touch.